Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Are you ready?
It's Afternoons with OMF.
So for the first time in the history of the Kentucky Derby, the horse that crossed the line first has been disqualified.
The stewards found no reason for disqualification. Blah, 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 blah. Here was the reason for the disqualification.
Stay in your lane.
How much did you just need to see a goal go in?
Don't ask stupid questions right now, guys.
We'll be back here for game seven.
What gives you the confidence that you'll
because
win game
we
seven?
Will.
That's a good question.
16 and a half is the over-under for him tonight.
For who?
That's
Tatum?
What do you want, under or over?
Under. Hayward's at what? 12 and a half?
I'll take the
over and Hayward also.
What about you, Donut?
Boston needs to win his game.
Thanks, Glenn.
Right now.
Yeah, Luckett goes up in top, and they score that, and they tell this here, and I threw. Now, no way.
On Sports Radio WEEI.
All right, big night tonight. You got the Celtics, as I just said, here at home. You've got the Bruins out in Columbus.
Oh, we got a lot going on.
They can
on.
End the series out there in Columbus. Don't even have to worry about it. Stupid Game 7. You don't want to play Game 7. End it tonight in Columbus.
Get over with.
And then, of course, for the Celtics, if they win tonight.
Give us the rest of the week off.
Right, they'll even it up at two games apiece, and then they go out and play Milwaukee on Wednesday, right? Game 5 coming up on Wednesday. And then we've got David Price, who is now on the IL. That would be the old DL that's now your IL.
Don't offend anyone.
We don't want to do that, and I certainly
well,
didn't.
It seems like that's the theme with David Price today. Let's not offend David Price.
Dr. Andrews said I had a special elbow.
Well, so, not quite today, I guess.
And we mentioned that he was not happy about a tweet out there, apparently, but he's not saying anything about it. So what is the story? So you've been going back and forth with Bradfo. What's the story? We're not getting any response?
No, he talked to the media apparently about his elbow. He said he wasn't really concerned. It just didn't feel right now, and he doesn't think it's anything serious, and he just wanted to slow it down. And, you know, the 10-day DL, they got some off days. He misses one start, right? Hopefully.
Yeah, one start. Was they retroactive
it,
at so that
was it.
3 was days
this
ago?
Was this a one-way street as far as, you know, press conference? Was it just him talking? I can't get answers. Was he not taking any clue. Questions? Nobody asked him anything about his tweet. I can't get any answers. I don't know. I don't
Lou,
know if they said...
The floor is yours.
I mean, every reporter's got comments from Price about his elbow, but no one's mentioned anything about his tweet in the White House. And I don't know if they... You know, I would think that if they said just questions they're dealing with his injury, the media, if the PR guy happened to say that, I would think that people...
Would still
reporters,
ask?
Reporters would say, okay, you know, we were told not to ask... I don't know why he would speak and no one would ask him.
I don't either. So Buckley tweeted out, Alex Cora has confirmed newspaper report he will not make the trip to meet the president. So basically, it's the White Sox who will be going. You get it?
Exactly. Play on words. Play on words.
And David Price retweeted it with a comment. I just feel like more than 38K should see this tweet. Referring to the followers that Buckley had.
He ripped on his followers? Yeah, so was that it? It was this an opportunity for him to take a shot at the amount of followers that Buckley had? There's so many ways. you're so lame. There's so many ways to interpret Price's tweet. I personally feel that he was calling Buckley out and the media in general, saying that, you know, this is what the media does here. They're trying to divide our locker room. Try to have the white guys versus Latinos and African Americans. Buck's trying to divide his locker room. Because the other way, if he's trying to get the word out there that you know, he wants people to know about this, is then he would be telling me that he's trying to shame his white teammates.
So wait,
look, you guys are going. So that's why I retweeted this thing. And I don't think he would ever do that. I don't think he would shame his teammates. I don't think he would try to divide it. So I took that as blaming Steve Buckley and the media.
For creating a race war.
Look, these guys try to divide our locker room.
Race war,
yeah, the media.
War,
trying to create a race war in our locker room.
That's what it is. See, I don't look at it that way at all. I think that Price is appreciative of Buckley for
for basically saying what he couldn't say on his own.
Yeah. But that theory.
So he retweeted it on purpose.
But that theory is that he's calling out his white teammates.
Yeah.
No, see, I think it's less about his
just
teammates.
Just the white guys.
Because they all love each other, right? Regardless, they all love each other. So he'd never sit there and expose and shame his own teammates. This is more about, hey, look, everybody, Buckley had a witty little response, play on words, making fun of the fact that everybody hates the president so much.
So now he's friends with Buckley.
That only the white guys, even reporters, are making fun of their own name. It's not Red Sox, it's White Sox. Why? Because only white guys are going.
I think I buy Kyrie better than Giannis than I buy this.
By what?
You're so lying. Wait,
there would be no... He's dumping
on the media.
Okay, so you think it's only media related?
Yep.
Well, look, you're the one that always says that David Price and Kyrie are alike, right?
Yes.
So do you remember when Kyrie said this to the media?
A lot of people don't realize on the outside that, you know, a lot of things that are said get into the locker rooms. Yeah. Like a lot of things that are put in headlines get into the locker rooms. Like media has broken up locker rooms.
So he thinks Buckley is trying to break up his locker room and create a race war.
That's a reach.
Or try to shame.
I think that's more likely, Christian. I do.
No, I can't.
He's
also unpredictable and kind of stupid, so.
It could very well be
that it's
the first time he's found out that Alex Cora is not making the trip to see the president, because that was the first line of Buck's tweet. So maybe that's it. Maybe he's going.
Yeah, but
like,
every beat reporter in town.
But you just heard what
said
he said
that
about
Alex Cora is not going to the White House. But he could have retweeted that and said, "Hey, this is important."
But he might.
Everyone
not have
in the
seen
country
it.
Needs to see that my manager's not going.
He might have just seen the Spanish paper down in San Juan.
So
had
he didn't
it.
Finish reading the tweet.
He might not have. But I think it's more likely he was taking a shot at
the
media.
If he was pissed at the media, why would he retweet it? That makes no. If he was angry at the media, he wouldn't give it more attention.
Yeah, to show that this is what I deal with in Boston. This is what the media is like. These guys, you know, we're just doing our thing, and they're trying to create a bleep storm in our locker room. They're trying to divide us to make it white versus black.
Again,
this is what they do.
Again, it turns. This is why I hate the White House visit. I hate it. I hate it.
They should
ban it. No, I love the White House visit. It was great, but it's been ruined. It's been ruined. They should never do it again.
It's always stupid. It was a stupid-ass photo opportunity.
It wasn't stupid, Glenn. It wasn't. I know you. Wait. I know you think it was because maybe you had your own issues with the your own political issues.
I wouldn't stand Ronald Reagan. I said this when the Tim Thomas thing came up.
I liked his wife, but
even though I didn't vote for Obama, I would have gone to the White House because I'd want to, you know.
It's just different now, and I get it. That's why I just think they should get rid of it.
It's all about Trump. It's all about Trump.
It's just a circus, you know, because you're forcing, you know, teams to pick sides, and are you going? Are you not going? Why aren't you going? Okay, but I don't want it to be about politics. Well, you're not going because of politics. So why aren't you going?
It'll be fine.
Because my manager isn't going. Or why aren't you going? Well, because the older guy said don't go.
Well, I think that's exactly what happened in I think it was Xander Bogaerts. You know, after we interviewed Cora last week, we all felt like there's no way he was going. You know, and then there was a question of, okay, we know who's going. There's some that are undecided. And I just feel like there are some players that are just indifferent, that don't care whether they go or not. Like, Xander was undecided at that moment.
He's from Aruba.
Yeah, in the minute. Well, that's what I mean. Just like, yeah, whatever. I don't care one way or the other. But when he finds out his manager's not going, now he's not going.
Right.
And it's just trying to show respect or backing up his manager. Right. Other guys want to go, they go. Other guys that don't want to go, they don't go.
So we've got nothing to report when it comes to David Price responding to this stuff. So
I can't believe we don't have one comment on this.
Nope, nobody cared about it.
It's like, don't talk about it. There's nothing to see here. We don't want to give it any more legs.
Not a big deal.
And we're every single, I was just watching this, you know, your favorite show, Glenn, High Noon, even though it starts at 4 or 4:30, not really sure. But Bomani Jones went through player by player of the guys that were not going. And he made sure to point out that every single one was a person of color. Here it is.
Alex Cora could have been on some, nah, I just don't feel like it, or it's a private decision. No, he decided to put exactly out there what his problem was. And for that, I think he deserves a certain measure of respect. For the Red Sox themselves, why are you going if this many people off your team are not going? And it's not going to really surprise you who ain't going. These are the guys who are going.
What
you want to guess
similar?
Who the guys are who said that they are going? And if this is going to divide your team in this way,
I would think it would be better for the team to decline, especially given all the stuff John Henry's had to say about Trump in the past, right?
You think he would have said the same thing if Barack Obama were still in the White House?
And a bunch of white guys.
Think he would have said that? No, he would. He would be chastising the white guys for not going. He would be sitting there saying it's not about politics.
Bang on this.
He exactly what people were doing when Tim Thomas didn't go.
They were
all over him. I read you the Globe editorial. They destroyed him. Basically said this is above politics, right? We had the Bleacher Report basically saying he should give up the rest of his salary and his contract. It's embarrassing. It's all about politics. And I don't blame a lot of these black players for not going. Because they're going to get pressure. The people are going to ridicule them. They're going to get it in social media. They're going to get it through regular, conventional media. They're going to get ripped.
Well, the team picture is just going to be, okay. Oh, man. Can we find one guy of color? You're telling me you have our entire front office.
Hey, do you remember
J.D. Martinez?
Yeah, right.
That's it?
J.D.
So the entire roster... It's all white guys.
Chris Sale,
white guys.
It'd be interesting to see the coaches because there's a couple of black coaches.
Yeah, and I just
interesting to see if they go.
I just honestly, like you said, maybe just do away with it because people can't. They can't just look at the situation. Like honestly, I understand why people certain players aren't going. I understand why certain players want to go. You know, and I don't know. You can't people can't respect those certain individuals' decisions. They only respect the ones they agree with.
Right.
Right.
That's all it is.
So it's just, why can't you just sit there? Because I don't think it's going to divide this team. I really don't. I don't think these guys give a rat's ass.
I agree.
I don't think they're very political at all in baseball. And you said maybe the clubhouses are different, but I mean, never in my entire career, 15 years in pro ball, I never once talked politics. People don't care. You play every single day. You got other things going on. Back in a plane, you're not talking politics. You're not doing it.
Yeah, but
so I don't think it divides it one bit.
Don't you think it is different though? I mean, I don't want to be the get off my lawn guy because I guess we kind of are those guys now. But it's different.
Get off my
lawn. It is a total different mentality than it was 30 years when you played. Was it 30 years?
Because you get pressured.
Yeah, 40 years ago.
40 years
because
ago?
Because the difference
you
is...
You made well.
Well, see, that's the thing. I think that there are certain guys... Again, Bogaerts was one. He didn't care one way or the other. And he found out his manager wasn't going. He's like, you know, I won't go.
Okay.
And I think, there's some guys that are just indifferent. Maybe not everybody. Maybe a couple of the players are political.
Well, Sandy Leon, who's from Venezuela, and he came out about a month ago in support of Trump, saying he was going. And basically because he was putting pressure on Maduro to leave and get out of there, even to the point where he was talking about possible military presence of going into the country. And Sandy Leon was all for it. So it's obvious to me he understood the situation and what the Trump administration was doing. Now, 4 weeks later, he's not going. Guess what? He's getting pressure.
Yeah, he's also talking about he hasn't seen his wife and kid.
Okay.
And whatever.
Maybe that's part of it. But I think that
a lot of these guys, like you said, to that pressure point, you know, maybe some of them are strong and they feel like they don't want to go, which is fine. Others, I don't know if they're just like, hey, I don't know. Yeah, we go to the White House. And all of a sudden there's a family member or in the off season or there's someone close to them that is like, you're not going to go to the White House. And they're emotional about it. And they're passionate about it. And honestly, maybe it's his parents. Maybe who knows what it is, an uncle, a grandfather. I don't know. And he's like, you know what? I don't care whether I go or not. But somebody close to me is really bothered by this, and so I'm not going to go.
But it's more about that, and Glenn, you mentioned it earlier.
I think it's all about his country.
Yeah, but it's socially unacceptable
to
go. You said it earlier. It's right. So when Kanye West
gets destroyed out there because he showed up at the White House because he was trying to have some communication with a guy that he might not have agreed with, and he was trying to deal with stuff, he got destroyed.
Kanye West gets it.
Totally destroyed. And weeks later, Kanye West, after defending himself and saying, no, I wanted to communicate. We need to open the door. We need to talk to this buffoon.
Well, the things that they he was being called is insane.
4 weeks later, Kanye West is destroying Donald Trump. Why? Because of the pressure. Why does Tom Brady not go and make this visit?
It's safer to go on the other side.
Exactly.
Yeah, so I can understand how if you don't have a dog in the fight, if you are indifferent about it, then you just take the safe road. You take the side that, you know, that no one's going to give you a hard time about. Whereas opposed to the other guy, so I could care less either way. And if they come at me, then that's fine. I just feel like I go back to the very beginning when we had Cora on last week. I think they should all go. Or maybe either they all go or none of them go. Like they won this thing as a team and they should stick together. So if Cora says, hey, I'm not going, then you know what? Nobody goes. Send Henry, send Kennedy, send David Ortiz. Send some of the old guys. I'm not kidding.
Send some
representatives from the team. They just decided as a team that this is what was best for them. So instead, you have all this dialogue, all this attention, and it's all directed with the wrong amount of energy. So I think it was the wrong choice.
It's a glorified photo op.
I know. You keep acting like you're downplaying
it.
And I'm here to tell you.
Well, it's become political now, and it's become so the people that hate Trump are not satisfied unless everybody else hates Trump.
Right.
So in the past, you could always hate the other candidate, the other side, but you didn't necessarily, because people on the Democratic side hated George Bush. They despised him. They just didn't force other people to actually hate him. That wasn't part of the deal. Now the deal is, not only do I hate him, you need to hate him as well.
Brilliant.
And if you don't, then it's, I'm shutting you off.
Yeah. And when
that's where we've got, that's just so stupid that we've got to this point that we can't communicate across the aisle. It's a joke.
So when I say, I don't know if it's necessarily political, more personal with Alex. Because again, like if Hillary Clinton was president and he felt like his country didn't get enough aid or his country didn't get enough support, he wouldn't go to the White House. You know what I mean? So it's not about Republicans or Democrats. It's about what is in there right now and what happened to this country. And there's plenty of debate. You could talk about, you know, all the corruption down in Puerto Rico. You can debate whether how much money president did send or he didn't send. The bottom line is that when he's home in the off season and he sees family members with no homes and he sees family members who still don't have electricity or food and struggling and suffering, I just don't think that he looks at those people that are close to him and says, I can't go to the White House and support that when I know I'm going to go home in the off season to my family, to my friends, and see what's going on down in my country.
Hey, I don't know if there was a Democrat in office, and by the way, we'll never know about the Hillary Clinton thing because she didn't quite make it. So, we'll never know that. But I think there's a different feeling toward this guy, okay, than there is of the previous presidents. As much as people might have disagreed with the policies of Barack Obama or really even, you know, I don't think it.
My point is, I think David Price and Alex Cora have different reasons for not going.
Yeah.
I think Mookie Betts and Alex Cora have different reasons for not going.
No, I think you hit on it. Most of the guys in that clubhouse, if you would give them a test, they would have no idea. What's going on in Washington, any of the policies
do you think
they love or they hate of Donald Trump, they would have no idea other than they hate him or can't stand him, and there's a lot of pressure on them to
losers.
Say, you're a man of color, you should not be going down there standing with that guy.
Well, I think
that's a big part of it.
Do you think Cora knows everything that there is to know, or is it just personal, based on a family situation where they say, you know what, I don't care what you hear. I don't care what you know. I'm telling you, it's a bad look for you. Don't go.
But isn't that understandable right now that his country, and we're, a year and a half, 2 years removed from a hurricane, and the place is still a complete mess? I would feel the same way if that were my homeland, if I were living in Puerto Rico, and I'm wondering what the hell's going wrong. And it's very easy to point the finger at the president, but we've had a Republican bill, we've had a Democratic bill, both have failed so far. But this is Washington right now. Nobody can get together and do anything. There's no compromising anymore. Those days are gone. And so it's easy to blame the president, especially when, with his rhetoric and his tweeting, it pisses people off. And I get that. Back to the phone calls we go. Here's Jonathan. Jonathan's in Brockton, Massachusetts.
Hey, good afternoon, Sean. How are you doing today?
What's
good.
Up?
And I think the problem here, Glenn, is where you're framing it incorrectly, and this is from an African-American male's perspective. It's not about politics. It's not about people are not opposed to the president because of his position on the Affordable Care Act or his position on the trade tariffs in China.
Oh, you can't swear.
We got to cut you. We can't. But also, you're looking at what he's done as far as the economy is going. Nobody's giving any credit to the guy at all for the fact that we've got the lowest unemployment.
They're not looking at the issues.
It's not the issues.
No, it's not the issues.
It's his rhetoric.
That's what he's saying.
Yeah, it's his rhetoric.
That's what he's saying.
Yes.
So the stuff that the caller, I'm sorry, I forgot the guy's name, what he's mentioning, again, like I said, Jonathan, people are not going for different reasons, okay? Maybe Jackie Bradley and Mookie Betts and David Price feel the same way that last caller did. I don't think Alex Cora feels that way. I think Alex Cora just feels it because of what happened in Puerto Rico.
Right.
And that's what Christian Vasquez, the same thing. You know what I mean? So there's different reasons, you know, why people aren't going, but whether it's Republican, Democrat, no, it's President Trump for most. But with Alex, it's just about what his country is going through.
Yeah, but it's a rhetoric. The guy's right. It is his rhetoric, but nobody's listening to the rhetoric of Speaker of the House, of senators.
They're not nearly as loud.
They're not right. They're not hearing any of that stuff. And that stuff toward the president is outright vicious, especially after the Mueller report. It's unbelievable. So that's where we are today in Washington. It is a cesspool. It's awful. Eddie is in a car. Eddie.
Hey, gentlemen. It's my first time calling, so please take it easy on me.
Be gentle.
So here's the deal. Unlike the previous caller, I'm going to use the same. I'm a brown-skinned guy, okay? I'm Hispanic. I just came back from Puerto Rico last week, even though I'm not Puerto Rican. It's a beautiful island. I was there. I talked to people. I'm in the military, so I met a lot of people. I took a million calves, and I asked the general population. A lot of people are struggling down there, but they said, you know, they're recovering from the hurricane. And I asked a lot of people what they thought of, you know, what do you think of this guy Trump? They're like, well, you know, like most of them don't care about politics, and the ones who did want to talk to me, I don't know if they're afraid that I was in the military. They're like, oh, the guy's really strong. We like what he's done. We have Russian yachts outside. You guys know, do they know up in the U.S. they have Russian yachts out here outside of our coast? I think they're trying to F with us because we have U.S. Army bases. And I'm like, nope. And but I'm a Red Sox fan, Alex Cora.
Okay.
The one thing I was met with, unfortunately, there's more Yankee fans in San Juan than there are Red Sox.
All right. We appreciate breaking down the any Seattle yachts. Fans down there.
There's yachts out there. There's Russian yachts?
What the hell?
I thought he was going to get into the whole corruption thing because that's part of it now. So what's happening is everybody's pointing fingers at the other party, and none of us seem to have an idea as to who's in the right and who's in the wrong, right? So if you despise the president, then you're going to point the finger at him and say he's got to be wrong because I can't stand the son of a bitch, right? And it could be that the mayor of San Juan is just not moving the money, appropriating the money, not doing the paperwork, which is what the feds are claiming right now. You're not telling us where it's going to be, where the money's going. Maybe that's part of it. But everybody's going to take sides in this thing. And again, the rhetoric makes it easy to go at this guy. Has he tweeted in the last hour about Corey yet?
He's mentioning how much money he gave to Puerto Rico. But
$91 billion.
Yeah, but we did have that caller earlier that, and I agree with him, that if he did, you know, if he went further, if Trump, because we know how he reacts to these sort of things, right? He doesn't like to, you know, uninvite a team or whatever. He'll fire back. But I do think if he fires back at Alex Cora, like personally in a tweet, then I do think even the white players will refuse to show up.
I'm not unproud of it.
If he does something in the next 24 hours, goes after Alex, I think his whole team
will
refuse to go.
I wouldn't put it past him. Though he never said a word about Brady, and I think that was really uncomfortable for him because Brady was his guy, and then out of nowhere, Brady doesn't show, and he said nothing. Remember that?
Yeah.
There was nothing said. It was like he doesn't exist.
Leave Tom Brady alone.
It was like he didn't exist. Just they totally
used his name left and right.
Jimmy Garoppolo is the quarterback of this team.
They made a mistake.
Here's LaCar. Hi, LaCar.
Hey, what's happening, Glenn?
What's up, LaCar?
Question. I want to switch gears and talk about the Celtics.
Yeah.
If God forbid, if the Celtics lose the next two games, will tonight be the last time we see Kyrie Irving in a Celtics uniform?
I personally don't think so, but I know there's a lot of people that do.
No, he's not going anywhere.
Let me ask you this question. How often do you hear players going from place to place all year round, and then when the time comes, it never happens? It seems like when they talk about it constantly, when you know it's going to happen.
Well,
George.
That it?
Paul George all year long, right? He was traded.
I think what he's getting at is that all year long, Paul George wants to be in L.A.
Right.
You know, and he didn't go. He signed an extension in Oklahoma City.
Right.
You know, so
right.
it's.
Or let's say that LeBron James, all year long, you've been talking about him going to L.A. Look what happened. He goes.
Yeah.
Yeah, they'd be better suited than a trade.
But not all the time. I mean,
so let me ask you
Paul
guys.
Paul George, why would you trade for Paul George when you know he's a free agent and can go to L.A.? Guess what? He didn't go.
Right.
You know, maybe Kawhi Leonard stays in Toronto as well. So it doesn't always happen.
Am I the only one that looks at this series or the Celtics and say, whatever happens in the series has very little to do with Kyrie's future? Other than I think people are going to get on him, and I think that's going to bother him because I think he's sensitive to that stuff. But I don't think it's got anything to do with it. It's going to be that conversation he has with Danny Ainge and maybe Rick Grosbeck and Steve Pagliuca, and where are we going from here? What are we doing? What's my team going to look like next year? Because this team's not good enough the way it's constituted. Guys, we can't win with this group.
And here's the unfortunate thing for Celtics fans, because I don't even know if this might be like just a punch in the gut. When Kyrie decides to stay and signs a one and done, you know, or like a one-year opt-out, right? He can sign his five-year deal and just because he's got to sign before they can move on Anthony Davis, correct?
No, they can do the deal with New Orleans, but they can't announce it until July the 1st. Right. That's the new fiscal.
Well, I'm just saying the timing of it. Like Kyrie could very well sign here. He'd be all excited, but then you find out he's got an opt out after 1 year, and he wants to see what develops.
Well, my guess
he wants to see who comes, who doesn't come, all these sort of things, right?
Yeah, but my guess is he's going to have it probably a 2 year opt out or a 3. I don't think it'll be a 1, but I would bet you he has a 2 year opt out. But he's going to make a lot more money in doing this deal because he can get an extra year. It's about $80 million more by signing with Boston as opposed to signing, let's say, with the Knicks. Now, people look at it and say, well, he wants to go back home. I don't know about you guys, but if somebody's offering you $80 million, more to stay in Boston as opposed to going home, what are you doing?
That, to me, is the only thing you need to know. That's the only thing you need to know. How much more money he can make.
$80 million.
That's it. Forget about it. There's not even a debate. And I would say even if he was just dying to get to another city and was just begging to leave, anyone associated with him would say, dude, listen, in 7 years, 4 years, go wherever you want. Just suck it up. Act like you're in college. It's like 4 years and you're done. And then leave and go someplace else.
So who's more likely to be here next year? Kyrie Irving or Jason Tatum?
Kyrie.
Easily.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, you may be stuck with Tatum based on the fact that, I mean,
well, I hate his, Tatum.
I told you, better play better.
His value.
You better play
his
value, well.
Who wants him now?
He's better in this last game. He's pretty good.
Okay,
this
so again,
it's all that mid-range.
Well.
He was better. Notice the mid-range jumper stuff,
better
though.
Play well.
But again, notice, that's what they're giving him. If I'm the Celtics, I go with that mid-range jumper because that's what Milwaukee's giving him. They're allowing him to do that.
By the way, no surprises, Marcus Smart is playing.
Yeah, that's the key.
Biggest no-brainer.
That's the key. So Celtics win then. Marcus Smart. Difference maker,
yeah, I'll go with
regulating
the Celtics.
I'll go with the Celtics
tonight. Because if they don't, this is a lot worse than we thought it was going to be.
Mark is stupid.
Even though I picked Milwaukee in it would be in 7, it would this is going to be a lot worse. If you go down in 5, because if they lose this game tonight, you tell me they're going to win game 5 in Milwaukee? No chance.
Yeah, I think it's
done.
Yeah, I think it's the Boston trifecta tonight.
You do?
I do.
All 3?
I do.
You like Josh Smith, huh?
Even though you've never heard of the guy that's pitching for the Sox?
No, I like their offense.
Josh
Smith. We should have bet on this.
Got a real name?
Although their guy's pretty good.
Fake name?
No, but I think the Bruins can finish him off up there. Celtics win tonight. And we rock and roll.
I'll take Columbus tonight and say that the Bruins come back and win it in Game 7.
Mm-hmm.
And I will take the Celtics tonight. And the Red Sox, whatever.
I don't know. You know, I'm sticking with my gut with the Celtics. I say they lose. I say they are just, this is the reality of it with them.
Boy.
This is just who they are.
Patrick sold a bunch of lollipops.
I can see it right now. Marcus
you ruined
Smart,
his day.
They're going to come out strong. Marcus Smart is going to get a standing ovation. They're going to get a lot of energy. The Bucks will sit there and take it and take it and take it, and then they'll fight through it, and they'll come out on the other end, because that's what great teams do. The Celtics are not a great team.
I'm going to be angry.
They're an average to good team. That's the truth. So if you want to sit there and rely on Gordon Hayward and Jason Tatum, all these other guys, good luck.
He's right. You know, if you talk about
this, that's who they are.
It'll be fascinating to watch. If the Celtics are losing this game in the fourth quarter, and then people start thinking what one of our callers already brought up, this could be Kyrie's last game in a Celtic uniform. And can you, at home game, can you imagine the reaction you're going to see in that fourth quarter? So you're right. The Bruins game is going to be quite interesting tonight because they have an opportunity to
But there's always game 7.
Yeah, but there's always game 7 But the Celtics, that fourth quarter, if they're down and they're really tight and it's adversity once again, they may have to have a comfortable lead in this game if they want to win this game
what
tonight.
What the no, hell it, yeah, is and happening I would say to my basketball team?
Well, what you just described is a team that's got no chance of doing anything in the playoffs. I mean, the only way you can win is in a blowout?
Maybe.
You know, you don't,
every time
you don't
they
have
face
enough
adversity.
In you. That's what I'm saying. And so that's got to change. To me, it's on Kyrie. He's got to be better. He's the best player you have. I don't care about the 29 points. You got to be better than he was at that game.
Right.
And more importantly, it's about runs. We saw it in game two, game three. That's when he's got to come up. Maybe it's the third quarter. He's got to have a monster third quarter. That's what he needs to do because that's when the game's gotten away from him.
Unfortunately, the runs have been 28-2 and 22-4 or something like that. The runs. You like that? You like that?
They promise the runs.
They can't stop
that. They can't stop the runs.
Man up. Honestly.
All right, Celts and Bruins.
Sometimes you get the runs. It doesn't matter. You can man up or not.
Can't stop it. You can't. Yeah. Marcus Smart, humor. The run stopper.
Yeah.
All right, everybody get the whoopee cushions out. 617-779-7937.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Take OMF with you wherever you go. Download the Radio.com app. Now back to Ordway, Marloni, and Fourier on WEEI.
Latest with him, and will he have any minutes restrictions?
Yeah, so he'll play short stints, you know, maybe a couple of half, but obviously monitoring how he feels, monitoring his wind, and all that comes with that, but he will be available to play short stints.
Starting?
No.
That's Brad Stevens from afar, obviously, the long microphone. So they're going to use him sparingly during the course
of the start.
Yeah, which makes sense.
It's like we said, it's like... I mean, you just sort of tell him, like, listen, check yourself in. You know, if George gets hot, George Hill, and Connaughton, they get hot again,
right.
Check yourself in.
Yep.
You know, in the first quarter, end of the first quarter, early second quarter, when the bench guys come in. I think everybody else, listen, Middleton, you got to control. I get it. But I think those two in particular, maybe it's somebody else.
Yeah, there's just
pick your spots.
Yeah, and there's the Kyrie angle, having like that dramatic, difference maker game that really, propels them into the next round. I don't know, does he have it in him? The Marcus Smart effect, I'm not sure how much that's going to be. I mean, I don't know what the difference is going to be just based on the fact that, all right, he goes in there, he doesn't shoot much, and if he does shoot, I mean... Was he? 30%?
No, it's gonna be like 3 minutes. It's gonna be about 5-6 trips down the court, have an impact defensively. That's what it's gonna be. You know, move the ball, whatever, but impact the game defensively for about 5-6 trips down the court from Milwaukee. Take them out. Pick the next spot to do it again.
So, what are the things that you remember that you see in the postseason with Marcus Smart that have an impact? 50-50 balls in which he's
get him 100%
diving,
of the time.
Right. He's doing that. He's doing. Is he capable physically of doing that type of stuff?
I would say yes. And here's the thing. So you're gonna tell me that you have a guy like Marcus Smart who's just he's just built and wired differently. You're gonna tell him, hey, take it easy.
Nope.
Good luck.
But you're gonna find out if he can do it.
The element, he might re-injure himself. That's my point. Like just the atmosphere and the crowd going crazy. God forbid he gets a steal. And then there's a ball that's loose, and then that's the difference in the fourth quarter. You think he's not diving?
You know why he's out there tonight? Because they're in trouble. That's why he's out there tonight. I don't think he'd be out there if they were leading in the series, okay? And they were having their way. They need somebody out there that's going to come off the bench and do exactly what Lou's saying. And it could be Mirotic tonight that he's out there against. Ilyasova. It could be any one of those guys. But they need somebody to be able to clamp down on those shooters right now.
And that's world of trouble.
And we'll find out because when he dives for a ball, right, and he extends those arms, you know, or he's reaching down, he's falling on his side. I mean, that's when you're going to find out about that core, you know, the rib cage, overextending it, whatever, hitting the floor, going for a ball, someone dropping a knee in his side, right, in a scrum. You'll find out soon enough.
Yeah, I know. I think it's initially, it's a spark, it's a difference maker, but... The problems that this team have is they're much bigger than Marcus Smart.
Well, I'm just waiting for the switch to be flipped.
They flipped the switch already. Yeah, no, they flipped the game one.
No, they did.
Yeah, the lights went out, though. Nope. The lights went out.
Yep. They flipped it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and then they flipped it off.
What would you call game one? That's why everybody was jumping on board.
They flipped
it. The series is over. Sweep. Oh, okay.
Well,
sure.
Game two and game three, it was on like a dimmer.
Oh, is that what it was?
So when they flip it, it's like a dimmer. But, you know, talk about those runs in the third quarter. That's where Smart comes into play.
Yeah, but has this team proven to anybody all year long, certainly they in the playoffs, that they can fight through adversity?
No, they have not done it. Have they done it? Oh, in the first series, I guess you give them credit for Indiana. I mean, but I really feel it's more about Indiana being terrible than you actually fight through it.
Couldn't score. This team could score. You're going up against the number one offense in the league. Number one
overtime, and we get something like that.
By the way, is it fair to say now, because I know people were all upset when I was mentioning that Milwaukee was the number one defense in the league, and for some reason the Green Teamers thought Indiana was, though they were a good defensive team. This Milwaukee team is a better defensive team than Indiana. If you watch the series, you're seeing it now.
Indiana, especially, what
they're doing to Kyrie.
Yeah, I just felt like Indiana, where they were just they didn't have much offense, so they had to be physical. They had to be scrappy. It's almost like they reminded you of the Celtics a year ago, but with the Celtics had more talent. They had more shooters. They had more skill position players. The attitude that the Celtics had last year is gone. It doesn't exist. They're not the same team. I mean, sure, maybe they win. Maybe they win this game tonight. Fine. They're not winning the series.
But is it fair to say that the Eastern Conference is a lot tougher this year?
No question. Kawhi Leonard
coming over to Toronto, they're a much better team. Philadelphia, with all the deals they've made with Harris and Butler, they're a better team. Though, what is this? Embiid gets sick every other day.
He doesn't wash his hands.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on.
He doesn't wash his hands.
Speaking of runs.
He called the coach yesterday morning at 6:20 a.m. and said, I don't think I can go today, coach. Who does that?
Maybe
it's like a 3:30 game,
maybe,
right?
Maybe he's one of those guys that just likes to, you know, make an appearance and dramatize it more. Maybe he's just better that way with people feeling like he's overcoming something.
Well, so it's crazy that he dealt with it a few games ago, and here we are.
But then he got out of it, and he had a phenomenal game, right?
He said he had a crappy game.
Then he,
no pun intended.
Then the theme going. You got a theme going.
He had a crappy game.
Yeah. And so then the disease came back. Is that what it is?
Yeah. So you had to excuse away his terrible performance. Hey, listen, I wasn't bad because I wasn't good. It was because I was sick.
So Philly is fine when he's healthy, and when he's sick, they can't do it. So, and then this Milwaukee team is much better. So you look at the conference. I don't think Boston could do this. If these teams were like they are now last year, does anybody believe Boston would go to the playoffs?
No, never. And that was the problem from all year long, you know. And before this series, they beat them last year without Kyrie, without Hayward. They're going to beat them again. It's just not that simple.
They're a year away.
Yeah, it's not that simple.
This Celtics team is a year away.
It shouldn't be, unfortunately.
No, because you thought they put in the work last year. You thought they, you know, broke down a bunch of walls and barriers last year, but you realize that, nope.
To me, this team loses this series, they will. In a couple of years, 3 years, 10 years, 20 years, look back at this season and say they wasted it. It was
30
a complete
for 30.
Waste. Yeah,
the year that was not.
And 18, we ain't won nothing, 18, y'all.
19, it was a waste.
No, you know
we
what
were
we'll
so
do
concerned,
is-
we thought we could just flip the switch. We thought we were on the right page, but the bottom line is that we weren't good enough. We should have been so much better. And we just wasted that year.
No, they'll go on LeBron James' show on HBO, The Shop, and they'll spill the beans there.
Oh, my God. I'm watching that last night.
So, let's talk about how tough it was. Oh,
rich guys who are sitting around in a barbershop basically saying, I wish I could do what I do, make lots of money, and then nobody would know about it. Well, if nobody knows about it.
No criticism, no judgment.
Right. How are you going to get paid?
No expectation.
Pay you.
You know, I just want to play basketball.
Do you understand that's why you make all that money? And school teachers who are doing more good to young people, that they don't make the money because nobody comes to watch them teach kids.
Well, it's awful tough to have that kind of a discussion when you feel it's important for as an athlete to have a platform and to express your views. Oh. So which is it? Do you want to express your views and have people discuss them? Or do you want to just be quiet? You want to just shut up and play? And just play basketball and get paid for it?
No, they want everything to be the way they want it.
Yeah.
And they don't want anybody to be able to say anything questionable or anything negative.
I like being uncomfortable.
Yeah, I know you.
I like getting comfortable with being uncomfortable.
Oh, yeah.
Pressing the limits and the buttons on the people that might... On the people that was before me that didn't want to do it.
And what did they? Yeah, what did they say last night? What was it last night you said?
Last night's theme seemed to be
Magic.
They talked about magic last night. Apparently, LeBron had no idea. And he said nobody else. Alonzo Ball was on last night as well. Seth Rogen was on. There was a bunch of people on there last night. But he was talking about he had no idea. And matter of fact, thought they were kidding when they came into the locker room and told them that Magic just called it quits. And he was not happy about it. And, of course, he was saying that Magic should have called him up and should have told him in advance.
Yeah, because you were there because he was the reason why LeBron went there, right? Because Magic was running the team.
I hate to say it because I know you're still a closet Laker fan. They're screwed.
I'm out in the open. They are screwed.
For the future, they're screwed.
I would trade LeBron James.
Yeah.
The Lakers were better.
Just cut bait and be done with it. It's not going to work.
No, and it might be.
Have they hired Tyronn Lue yet?
Any day now.
Oh, what a disaster.
Any day now. Mm-hmm. Well, you didn't think it worked out well the first time they won a championship.
Disaster.
What are you talking about?
Unbelievable.
Yeah, the whole thing is pretty.
The Lakers.
I mean, as bad as you look at the Celtics situation, what it could be in this offseason, and I think they're going to have a good offseason. See, I think you're going to see a different crew next year when you talk about players.
They won't get one big name. They won't get one big name. They're all going to go someplace else.
You don't
think
they're getting Anthony Davis?
No, I do not.
Really?
He's going to be a Celtic.
There's
right?
Kawhi Leonard.
Oh, no, that's what
they tried already.
That's what I'm talking about.
The Lakers aren't getting anybody. The Lakers aren't getting anybody.
Well, look what happened.
They missed the playoffs again.
When LeBron couldn't play, look what happened. All of those guys couldn't play, and the Lakers were losing
every
night.
They were a 4 or 5 seed when he got hurt.
So if I'm New Orleans, I'm looking at it going, I don't want any of those guys. If I bring all those guys in without LeBron, we're going to really suck.
I like being uncomfortable.
There's no way they're going to do that deal. Now, the one thing you can do is you can look at Boston and say, Tatum was pretty good. Jaylen Brown was pretty good, even when they didn't have those other guys.
Tatum better because start being better.
Yeah,
more of what you saw in Game 3.
How about Gordon Hayward tonight? You're looking forward to a big Gordon Hayward game?
Over under 7.
I would like to say he's due. I would like to give him the Christian Fourier seal of a he's due approval.
Do you know he only has 1 year left in that deal? Is that right? 1 year, right?
Well, you can opt out. I would say this. I'm going to give him 3 shots. If he hits 2 of them, he'll have a good game. If he misses his first 2, he's going to get 5 or 6 shots in this game.
But
he'll just hide.
But when he's into it, isn't he a totally different player? And can you not tell right away? You could sit there and say to yourself when you're watching him, he's into this game, he's going to be good tonight.
Yeah, if he gets his first couple shots.
I don't even know.
If not, he hides.
Nope, I'm not even saying it's shots. I think it's the body language and everything else, the way he plays, there's a flow to his game. And when he's in it, you're sitting there going, he's a factor right now in this game. And when he's not, it's almost like, what are you doing? Why are you even on the court? He's like useless out there, which is pretty amazing to me. This hour of the program is being brought to you by FindMassMoney.com. We got a last call coming up. Don Cherry, again, saying bizarre stuff, which we love. Next.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
We're back with more Ordway, Merlone, and Fourier on Sports Radio WEEI. Time now for Last Call.
See you later.
I'm done.
And it's been a blast.
I think the show has been a lot of fun.
I mean, I'm letting you go.
I'll let it go.
I'm letting you go.
Last Call.
It's really about the end of it.
Our very, very best, we've saved for last.
Press down the stretch they come.
Where'd you get a f***ing in?
Thanks for the ride, everybody. I'll see you around the block.
Bye-bye.
Now, it's Last Call on Ordway, Merlone, and Fourier.
It's all brought to you by Cars for Kids with a K. Donate your car, help a child today. Schedule your free pickup, 877-CARS-4KIDS, or at cars4kids.com. Can't get enough of Don Cherry, and he is just apoplectic about what's going on with the Carolina Hurricanes. It was a team he did not want to see in the next round.
They're already there.
Well, he didn't like what they do at the end of games where they do the little skits and stuff.
Yeah, he hated that.
And he called them a bunch of jerks, and he's been all over them. So he hasn't stopped.
You happened to bring up on the coach's corner that night what has made Raleigh, Carolina, the Hurricanes, everybody rich and famous. This is unbelievable, the jerks phenomena.
I don't understand this. I said this on Canada, and it goes down in there. And you know, it's a funny thing. They know that it's the wrong thing to do, or they do it in the playoffs. No, what you do a guy, you do it in October, you don't see him till March. They know in the playoffs, you should, look at that there, that's pretty good. You should not, you know, I don't understand. Guys, the only, I'm told, the owner said, entertain the crowd. And they still draft at 13,000 to 14,000 people. And these people that are here now, now they're winning. Front-running fans, as far as I'm concerned, that's what they are. Front-running fans, as far as I'm concerned.
Hard not to embrace it, though, isn't it? And the pig,
I don't embrace nothing. I said they look like a bunch of jerks being a fish in the water, a bowling ball, with a professional hockey, and no sport in the world does it except them. And it come down from the top, I want you to interfere. I want to entertain the fans. The fans there now, they're 17 and 18,000. They're front runners. They're there because they win, not because they act like fish. Okay? That's it. I got my own saying that.
Was it fish out of water?
You know what I love about it? He says, I say it in Canada, and then it goes down there. He's finally figuring out how this communication stuff works.
Like, I love it. When he gets riled up, he never finishes the sentence.
Never. No. Nothing.
But did he think
of it? And, you know, and then the next thing you know, the things, and then I don't even understand why. But anyway,
I don't understand this. I said this on Canada. Canada, and it goes down in there. I love that. It's a funny thing.
In the old days, we'd say it in Canada, and it would stay in Canada. Nobody would take it. Nobody would steal it.
I don't get it. Is it a fish out of water? Is it a fish in the tank?
Fish out of water.
But what does that have to do? So the Fairweather fans, so they were doing this all year, this whole, you know, post-game theatrics, limbo,
but they're embracing
basketball.
It down there in Carolina. They're smart. Bunch of jerks, they're embracing it.
And they're not doing it during
the postseason. So he dressed
up in a
didn't he have a Star Wars outfit this past weekend?
Fourier doesn't believe that Jerry Callahan hasn't seen any of the Star Wars movies, which I'm starting to believe because Don Cherry, as it turns out, is a huge Star Wars fan.
Well, he's dressed up in the Star Wars stuff.
Looks good, doesn't he?
The Imperial March for you, Bobby, and for you, Don.
Yes, here it is there. The fourth be with you. Now, don't forget, this is for the kids. The kids have a good time with it. The fourth be with you. Get
the
it?
Kids.
The fourth.
Yes, I get it.
Okay. When I remember these guys were out at the same time the playoffs in L.A., and we're in the Marriott Hotel, and all those Trekkies and chewy tobacco and all that thing.
Oh, yeah.
Chewy tobacco.
Chewy tobacco. Chewy tobacco.
Chewy tobacco.
That's actually a chewy tobacco. I like that. All my favorite one.
All the kids like this. What was the first Star Wars? What was it, 76?
Chewy tobacco and all that thing.
Chewy tobacco.
Chewy tobacco. Boy, Danny Amendola's unbelievable. They go down to Kentucky. They're going to the Derby, and he decides he's going to bet Tom Brady $100,000 that he can throw a football through a window. Didn't go so well.
All right, this is for 100 grand.
100 grand if I hit 50.
Yeah. All right, what are we doing here?
100 grand. 100 grand.
Are you in on this, Bruce?
Look at the wind.
Hold on. Dude, this guy's no insane right now. With that little football?
That 50 is the target up there. Hold on.
Oh! We need another autograph.
Don't learn nothing.
That's a goner, bro.
So he doesn't really have to pay. No, he didn't.
So this
and it was
all
a miniature football, so he doesn't have to pay Brady 100 grand, does he?
I doubt it.
Oh, okay.
I doubt it.
So that was just...
But this is all based on the whole Jimmy Kimmel skit that he did.
Oh, yeah.
Brady throwing the football through the window. Right. So I can do it too.
Well, Brady did it in one take.
True. Oh,
that's what they're saying. That's what they're saying.
Well, should, hopefully.
Hollywood sources.
It's like another legend that exists with Tom Brady.
By the way,
we
said nothing about the Kentucky Derby today. It was like unbelievable. They had the overturn, the result in the whole works. And Mike Francesa spent 4 hours on it last Friday, giving a preview.
A mutt preview.
Of the Derby, telling you exactly what a horse's life and a horse's day is like.
Every horse goes out and loosens up every day. Goes to the track, okay? The horses get up in the morning, they go out, they go to the track, they'll jog a couple of miles, they'll come back, they'll get their bath, they'll go out. If they're a special horse, like a big horse, they'll go out and they'll graze. They'll have a little pen, they'll graze in. The other horses don't get that advantage because they're not the stars, but they'll graze a little bit. They'll go in, have their, you know, food, and that's their day.
It's like us running down Kyrie's deck.
I thought they were going to say, then they have sex, and then they go to bed.
The other horses don't get that advantage because they're not the stars.
So wait, hold on. So only
stars get to
cool.
Bathe.
So wait, no, and graze. So they graze, and then they eat. Isn't grazing kind of eating for
they'll
a horse?
They'll go out.
Yes.
If they're a special horse, like a big horse, they'll go out, and they'll graze.
And then they'll come back
and
eat.
Come back
they'll have
and
a little
eat.
Pen, they'll graze in.
They'll graze in, so they'll eat as they're walking into the pen.
I'm surprised you didn't drop, you know, Bob Baffert, you know, has tried to bring me on before, tried to help with the horses.
So here's the
horses
thing.
Get up in the morning, they go out, they go to the track.
They take a bath.
I love it. They take a bath.
Mutt does that every morning.
They don't actually,
the show.
Somebody gives them a bath.
So I'm a little confused with this whole thing.
They're washing underneath their arm.
Take a bath.
So Maximum Security was disqualified, right?
Yep.
And
it
won the thing. And I was reading that not only did they lose the race and lose the purse and the whole works, but now they lose the stud fees. And I'm sitting there going, wait a minute. It was the jockey that kind of moved the horse out of the lane or whatever. How does that mean that that horse can't go and do a little studding and come up with some other really good?
I'm sure it'll get some. Right? It'll still get some action, but it just won't be as pricey.
That was crazy.
Why? I mean, it's you telling me the horse is any bit slower that I'm not going to pay a studding fee to have?
Somebody's going
to
get a deal.
They'll get their bath.
The horse that is shamed.
They should be able to get something for it, though, right?
Yeah, but they said they're going to lose maybe, you know, $20, $30 million in study fees. And I'm Jesus. Sitting there going, that horse is fast. That wasn't
you
the
know,
horse's
I don't understand. Like, I feel like everybody's at the Derby but us.
And they'll graze.
So if the
Why
horse...
Why are we going?
The
Bill's,
horse,
at the, Bill's at the Derby. Everybody's at the Derby.
So if the horse has a little horsey, are you telling me that horsey is just going to constantly... Veer to the right.
Yeah, it's
That's
got
what I'm
veer to
get.
The right.
It's
going to
be defat.
Ah, your daddy was like that.
You're talking about.
Your daddy did the same thing. It's like
I saw like the comment from Baffert. He said, "No one calls an objection to Derby. It's always a roughly run race. Sometimes you got to take your ass kicking with dignity." That was his comment.
It was all mud.
Yeah.
How does a horse stay in that line? I mean, could you stay in a line? You. Not a horse. You.
Me?
In the mud.
No. First of all, I feel like it rains every single time they have the Derby.
Did
like, every single too, time it rains.
The guy did crowd him. What was it? War of Will, whatever it was?
Yeah, that guy.
He just jumped over in front of him
and
stopped
him. And why is that illegal anyways? Why can't you force another horse outside the lane? Wouldn't that be just kind of gamesmanship?
Can't do it.
Why?
No.
Call Mike.
I don't want to call it the unwritten rules because it's actually written.
Call Francesca.
So I've got the Celtics winning tonight, the Bruins losing, and the Red Sox, I don't care. The Red Sox win. And you have?
They go to 500. Yeah, the Red Sox will continue to slug. Celtics will win. Bruins will win.
Oh, you got all three?
I'll go with the parlay.
Trifecta, and you?
Yeah, I got the Sox win, Celtics lose, Bruins win.
Okay.
Unfortunately.
We'll see what happens tomorrow. We'll all do it at 2 o'clock.
Bet him.
Tomorrow, is Rodney Harrison joining us tomorrow, too?
Yes, he is.
Rodney Harrison will join us tomorrow. Newest Congrats. Member to the Newest Patriots Hall of Fame. A lot of Bruins, a lot of Celtics. Rodney Harrison as well coming up tomorrow. You got Red Sox baseball coming up next. We're out of here, guys.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.